today, Dee and I want to share with you a message entitled, Keep Up Your Courage. Keep up your courage. The little ship Paul sailed on across the Mediterranean was doing great. About 270 men on this ship, and the wind was blowing out of the south calmly, carrying the craft toward their destination of Italy. But suddenly, everything changed. It says a wind of hurricane force swept down over the Mediterranean and caught the little ship in its mighty force. In fact, it says the ship was caught by the storm. It could not bear up into the wind. They passed ropes under the ship to hold it together. Waves mounted higher and higher, crashing against their wooden craft. The wind shrieked through the sails and through the rigging. Violently, the storm battered the little ship. Wind and wave rocked it back and forth, pitched it forward and backward. And finally, the scripture says that the men began throwing the cargo overboard in order to lighten their craft. Throwing overboard the valuable cargo that would have paid the owner handsomely. On the next day, when the violence of the storm did not abate, the sailors and the other men on the ship threw overboard the tackling, the sails, the ropes, the pulleys, the extra spars, and rigging. They threw it overboard in order to lighten the ship as much as possible because it was taking on so much water it was sinking lower and lower into the ocean. The Bible says that finally hopelessness set in. Listen to the words of Acts 27, verse number 20.
When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved.
Hopelessness struck the men of the ship, and they began saying, we can't be saved. There's just no way we can survive. And so, after not eating for approximately 2 weeks, everyone was too seasick and too frightened to eat. The Apostle Paul, who was actually a prisoner of the Roman Empire, the Apostle who was on this ship, stood up in the middle of this horrible storm and listened to his words. He spoke to these hopeless men. Acts 27, verse 22.
But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost.
Keep up your courage. Everyone's lost hope, but Paul says, don't lose hope, but keep up your courage. So today, let's go to the Word and let's see how Paul could say to all of us, keep up your courage in the good days, the bad days, the tough times, the easy times. Keep up your courage by, first of all, giving yourself to your heavenly owner. Give yourself to your heavenly owner. Listen to Paul's words. Acts 27, verse 23.
Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me.
Notice what Paul said about God. He said, God, whose I am, or to whom I belong, and whom I serve. He knew God was his owner. God was his possessor. God was his caretaker. So, brother, sister, we want to keep up our courage by remembering that God is the proud owner of treasured possessions. We are God's treasured possession. Every one of us. He treasures us so highly that he gave his only begotten Son to torture and torment and death for us. God is the proud father of every one of us. Listen to Exodus chapter 19, verse number 5.
Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine.
God says, out of all the nations of the earth, that we are his treasured possessions, even though he owns all mankind. Yet he designates his children as treasured possessions. This is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 6.
The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession.
God chose us. That's the key here. We didn't choose the Lord. We didn't select the Lord. We didn't pursue the Lord. We were all off doing our own thing, ignoring God. But God chose us. He chose to lay his hand upon us because he considers us of immeasurable worth. Listen to chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, verse number 2.
Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession.
There it is again. Over and over the Old Testament saying, we are his treasured possessions. So, Paul stood up in the midst of that 270 men and with that ship rolling violently side to side, almost capsizing. After having spent 2 weeks without seeing the stars, the sun, the moon, with 2 weeks of battering by wind and wave, he could stand up and say, I belong to God Almighty. The God who owns me sent his angel and spoke to me. So, that's the way God feels about you. Listen to Titus chapter 2, verse 14.
He who gave himself for us to redeem us and to purify for himself a people that are his very own.
Did you hear those words? He purified a people who are his very own. Who are his very own. He says, I am proud of you. I possess you. I protect you. I take you as mine. You know what? Ownership always brings responsibility. Ownership always brings responsibility. And so we can be confident that we can rely on our heavenly owner. He is responsible. He remains responsible forever and ever and ever to hold the whole universe together, to bring everything into his plan, into his purposes. So we have every reason to feel confident and to keep our courage up because our responsible owner is going to take very, very, very good care of us. Listen to Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 33.
Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.
Whoever listens to me, the Lord says, whoever listens to me, whoever I own, will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. So your God is a responsible God. And Paul can stand up and say, gentlemen, the God who owns me, the God who took me as his child has told me no one on this ship is going to perish. So, we keep up our courage by giving ourselves to our heavenly owner. By reminding ourselves to whom we belong. Secondly, we keep up our courage by trusting the one who designed us around his plan. We trust the God who designed us around his plan. Listen to Paul's words again. Acts 27, verse 24.
Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you.
The angel said, Paul, don't be afraid of the storm. Don't be afraid when everyone else is talking about dying in the Mediterranean. Don't worry about their hopelessness. You must stand trial before Caesar. You see, in that statement, God declared his plan for Paul. He designed that Paul would stand trial in Rome before Caesar. We can keep up our courage because God is going to do His plan. He is going to perform His purposes for our lives. Every one of us are sent ones. We are not on this earth by random choice, by accident. We are sent ones. God designed, He purposed that every one of us should be on this planet. This is the Psalm 139, verse number 16. Here it says,
"Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be."
Your eyes, God's eyes, saw our unformed body. God was aware of us even before our conception. And in His book, this verse says, He wrote a plan for our life. We keep reminding ourselves, God has a plan for my life, and that plan is going to be accomplished because of God. You are a sent one. God sent you to earth. You are not merely the product of your parents' choice. You are here because God wanted you here. Listen to Jesus' words, John 20, verse 21.
"Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
I am sending you, Jesus said, just like Father sent me to earth. So, when danger lurks around us, we remain confident in the performer of the plan. And God is the performer of His plan. God did not design a plan and then say, okay, humans, do it. Nope. He said, I will perform my own purposes and carry out my own ideas. So when danger lurks, when it looks like we are not blessed, we believe we are blessed because the performer of the plan is going to carry out all He designed for us. Here was young David in his 20s, running for his life from King Saul. When David was a teenager, the prophet Samuel poured olive oil on him as a sign of God's presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Samuel announced that David would be king of Israel, but it looked less and less likely that he would become king. In fact, David was running, living in caves, in deserts, in forests. I want you to notice what he wrote whenever he was running for his life and living in a cave. Psalm 57, verse 2.
"I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me."
I cry out to God who fulfills His purpose for me. Now, who does the fulfilling of the purpose? According to that verse, David said, God fulfills His purpose for me. So that's our confidence. We can keep our courage up. Even when everything around us is falling apart, even whenever we fall apart, we can be confident that God is going to fulfill His purpose for us. Look at Psalm 138, verse number 8, the first part of the verse says,
"The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me."
How plain can it be? The Lord will fulfill His purpose. Relax. Be confident. Don't be downhearted. Trust the one who designed you around His plan. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me, David said. Put your name in there. The Lord will fulfill His purpose. And then put your name. Personalize the verse. This is Psalm 115, verse number 3.
"Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him."
Don't you like that? Your God does whatever pleases Him. And He is pleased to send you to earth for a purpose, a reason, and a plan. And He's going to fulfill it. Job 42, verse number 2.
"I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted."
You can do all things, Job said, and no purpose, no plan of yours can be thwarted, can be nullified, can be defeated or turned aside. Trust keeps our courage up. Trust in the performer of the purposes keeps our courage up. Trust keeps our courage up. So, brother, sister, go to the Word. Trust the Word. Depend on the Word. Don't be shaken when everything around you and everyone around you maybe is doing badly. When Christians fail, when non-Christians fail, when there are people who disappoint you, when you're disappointed in yourself, none of that means anything. We trust the God who fulfilled His purpose for us. So, we want to trust the performer of the purpose. We want to give ourselves to our owner. And thirdly, we want to keep our courage up by clinging to God's unalterable predictions. We keep our courage up by tightly clinging to God's unalterable predictions. On the ship in the Mediterranean, storm-battered, storm-tossed, 270 men talking about their last moments, which were surely coming. Everybody was hopeless. Everyone predicted doom. They all gave up hope that they would be saved. That was their prediction. But the Apostle Paul accepted only God's predictions. He let their hopeless words in one ear and out the other. He paid no attention to all this talk about dying, never seeing family again. He accepted only God's predictions. So we must accept only God's predictions. Now let me point out to you, my friends, that God's promises are predictions. A promise predicts your future. A promise predicts God's plan for you, His purpose for you. Promises predict what God's going to do, so you can spell the promises which accurately predict what God has in mind for you. Listen to Paul's words. Here he is now. I'm sure he's soaked with salt water, just like everyone else on this ship. He hasn't eaten in 2 weeks, just like everyone else. Everyone's weak as water. Things couldn't be worse. And yet, here are Paul's words, Acts 27, verses 23 through 25.
Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me."
Let's read that 25 again. That is so good. Make this your motto. Make this verse a part of your consciousness. Acts 27, verse 25.
"So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me."
Praise the Lord. I have faith in God that it would happen just as He told me. And He told me that I would stand trial before Caesar in Rome. So to Rome we are all going. Not one of you will die, the apostle told them. So you see, when everybody else couldn't see anything except doom, Paul saw hope. God did not predict a trouble-free life for any of us. We know that. In fact, let's read again Paul's words, Acts 27, verse 26.
"Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island."
Here, Paul, after predicting that they would all make it to Rome, said, "Nevertheless, we will be shipwrecked. We will be on an island. We will be thrown onto an island." And yet, he kept his faith in God. He said, "We're going to make it." You know what the Bible says that these men did? It says they believed the apostles' words. And after fasting for 2 weeks, I'm sure many of them were unable to eat because of seasickness. The violence of the storm tossing the ship left and right, up and down. They couldn't eat. But now, based on the apostles' words, the Bible says they all took some bread and ate. They found courage in the words spoken by the apostle. And the apostles' words were based on God's words, God's predictions. You see, God predicts victory for you and me in spite of troubled living. God predicts victory for us in spite of the difficulties of life. Good old Romans 8, verse 28. Notice what it says about the Lord.
We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose.
Now, what is God doing according to that verse? God is working. He isn't inactive. He isn't uninvolved. He isn't on the other side of the universe. He is working in our behalf. That's what the Scripture says. He is working in our behalf. That's a prediction. We can believe what He predicts. His predictions always find their fulfillment. He has never predicted anything about you or me. He's never made one promise predicting a good future for us and allowed that promise to not come to pass. James, please. Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance.
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because that trial is bringing forth perseverance. It's producing in you that which is strong, that which is healthy. It's producing in you the image of Christ. All victors tenaciously grip God's prediction. So today, my friends, hold on to the word that predicts your victory. Keep up your courage by clinging to the word and by clinging to the Lord. In fact, we should expect the benefits of keeping our courage up. I want to show you what God did for the apostle. The apostle kept his courage up, and his courage kept up the courage of all the other men on that craft caught up in the storm on the Mediterranean. Sure, the apostle arrived in Rome just like the Lord told him he would. He survived the storm. Everybody else on that ship survived the storm. And then, look at what happened when the apostle arrived in Rome. Acts 28, verse 30, 31.
For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Because he kept his courage up, the Roman government allowed him to stay in his own rented house. They didn't put him in prison, at least not at first. They didn't imprison him in a dungeon. It says they allowed him to stay in his own rented house with a soldier. And there, the Scripture says that for 2 full years, without hindrance, he spread the gospel. Jews, Gentiles alike, visited the apostle. And in his quarters there in Rome, he shared the gospel with who knows how many people. Hundreds of people heard the gospel because the apostle kept his courage up. Well, my friend, God wants you to keep your courage up because you'll be a blessing. He intends to make you a blessing. That's His whole purpose for your life on this earth, that you be a blessing bigger and better and grander than you ever dreamed possible. So keep your courage up. Maybe you'll never be in prison in Rome. I hope not. But God will use you right where you are. You have every reason to keep your courage up. The performer of God's purposes for your life cannot fail. He will never fail. Remember that the one who designed you around His plan is with you. So you can trust the one who designed you. And you can give yourself today to your heavenly owner. And he will bless you left and right. The way Ephesians puts it is this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us.
He's going to do all you ever imagined. More than that. He will do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine as you keep your courage up. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you refuse to give up when life resisted you on the right and on the left. You refused to give up. You kept your courage, and God rewarded your courage with victory after victory. The Father, encourage all the brothers and sisters who hear this radio program or this CD. God, help us be strong. In the name of Jesus, amen.